I mean, I have my phone, but I don't like preaching from my phone. I like using that stuff, but when I'm just kind of old-fashioned with that. Still like my Bible, still like my outline. I tell some people, I say it's like my security blanket, just in case technology fails. Good morning, everyone. It is good to see everyone out this morning. Good to see so many out, and having the good news be able to report today about still in need of place of membership with us. We want to welcome them, and as we get to know them more, it's truly a blessing that we had to be able to come together to be of one body, as we're going to talk about this morning, the one body of Christ. And this is actually an introduction that I wanted to do a couple months ago. I had just mentioned to the men in a business meeting about the idea of looking at an eldership. And one of the things, this introduces to a series on elders and the work of the church. And looking at this, and what I want to do in the very first lesson with this is to look at the body of Christ and kind of take a general approach to this lesson and to this series, and then kind of getting in more detail as time allows us in this series. But again, Brother Nathan read for us Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 down to verse 6. And again, Paul points out in the first few verses about his desire to work, his desire to walk in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable to God. And then in verses 4 down to verse 6, he points out the need and how it is accomplished and how it is to be done, speaking about the subject of one, being one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. And we want to talk this morning just briefly about the one body of Christ. And there is a makeup of the church as we think about this. Things that we need, things that the Bible points out for us. Things that are effective. Things that will improve our service out and the local work in particular. If you go back to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 down to verse 19, Jesus here, before he ascends, as he's continuing to teach his disciples and the apostles in particular here, he's speaking to Peter directly in verse 18 and verse 19. Where he was asking of who he was. And when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God," he said in verse 18, "I say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." You know, we see here Christ was establishing his church, speaking about this one body. And as he goes on speaking to Peter in verse 19, even further, he says, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven." There were keys given to Peter, to the apostles, to be able to open the doors of the church. Christ was established. That's what he was preparing his son to continue on in their work, in the work that he had established. You know, some people look at verse 19 and will say, and denominational teaching will say, well, verse 19, they've made Peter the head of the church. But that's not the case. The work that we talk about was commissioned by Christ. As we look later on in the gospel accounts in Matthew chapter 6, 20, verse 18 down to verse 20, then again in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, Jesus telling them to go preach the gospel message, baptize those in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, teaching them to observe all them, kind of combining both those verses together. There is one body of Christ. And there's work that needs to be done. And we want to talk about that kind of in our introduction in this series. But beginning off, again, think about it with me, is that Christ must be the head of this one body. You know, it's not our own doing as we think about this morning. It's not our own doing of how the church works. We, you know, there are people. You know, we do things, and we talked about this a few weeks ago. We do things in the way that the Bible has taught us. We make sure, for instance, that we have our, we do singing, that we're, that our song service is in the manner of what the Bible points out. We offer prayers on the first day of the week. We partake of the Lord's Supper. We take time to be able to study God's Word in preaching and in teaching, taking the time to do these things. You know, each congregation has their own order of services. But some people want to go above and beyond, is what I'm getting at. Some people want to go above and beyond, wanting to add to, and then kind of going away from what the Bible has taught us in how the church is supposed to operate, supposed to work. Whether we could talk about instrumental music, whether we could talk about the offering of the Lord's Supper every day of the week, or you go to different places and offering it in the nursing home and hospitals every day of the week. I mean, you know, sometimes we have, I know we used to do it here where we would have a worship service at the nursing home here in Milan on a Sunday. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, people in the hospital. I've seen it before, seen with family where someone comes in on like a Thursday night and says, well, would you like the Lord's Supper? We start adding to and taking, you know, or even taking away from this, and you know, oh, that Bible, you don't need to use that Bible, just say whatever you want to say up here. Get away from things. And what we're getting away from is the fact that Christ is the head of the church. If you go back to Ephesians with me, in Ephesians chapter 1, you know, as we talk about, you know, in particular, looking at Ephesians, as we think about the one body that's mentioned in Ephesians 4, well, we go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. I'm sorry. Chapter 5, verse 23. Let me go there first. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. We are working for the head. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Again, kind of understanding the relationship of man and woman. The husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. You know, we want to be able to, we are working. Our body, the head, as we think about our own physical body, the head sends all the different signals for the body to be able to do all the different functions. And again, we're answering that, and we see where the head is sending signals for me to be able to move my hands, to be able to talk, and be able to do all these different things. My head is sending all the signals to my body to be able to do it. Just as Christ is needing to be the head of the church. Again, we think about, in the beginning was Christ, not us. In the beginning of the church, when Christ established his church, he was there in the beginning. Go over to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Christ is in the beginning. The head, again, pointing out that he is the head of the body. Again, who wasn't the beginning? And again, we think about this. God the Father gave Jesus Christ. Think about this, in the beginning of all things. Christ gave Jesus Christ as a sacrifice. He loved the world, as we read in John 3, verse 16, that he loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God ordained all this. God gave Jesus Christ for the people, and also to be the head of the church. As we think about this morning, we need to desire growth. We talk about the idea of growing numerically, physically speaking, but also we need to grow spiritually and continue to grow spiritually. Sometimes people will look at the idea of growth and say, well, you know, the numbers haven't been going up as we would like. But are we growing in a way that we can be able to have more knowledge, getting more knowledge, being able to grow in our own life as a servant of God, as a Christian, being able to grow in a manner that we can be able to develop our own personal fruit? When we think about growth, we think about spiritually growing together and numerically growing together, growth comes through Christ. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 with me again as you look. You know, Ephesians 4 kind of really talks about the church, talking about the idea of growth, talking about unity as we look at all this. But as we look in Ephesians chapter 4, again, this time I want to look at verse 15. Again, speaking about Christ being the head. Ephesians 4, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up all things into Him who is the head, Christ. To help others and to encourage others to draw closer to God, we've got to grow in a manner that's pleasing and acceptable to God. That it does matter. We're speaking the truth, the absolute, the truth in love. That all things make, if we want to be able to grow up as Christians, if we want to develop as Christians, we've got to have Christ in our life. We've got to be following and having Christ be the head, the forefront, and imitate and following that example. When we talk about our role in relationship, I mentioned Ephesians 1. This time I want to go over there this time. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. Doesn't he put, God, put all things, put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church? The church, which is his body, the fullness of things, of him who fills all in all. That's going to be wonderful. You know, we're going to talk about this in lessons later on in this series, Lord willing. There's going to be one head. Sometimes people believe that the elders are the head. But that's not the case. Christ is still the head of the church. If there were multiple heads, the body would be set into complete confusion. Not able to function to its fullest potential as we think about this. Not able to be able to do the things that it should be doing because there's this confliction between it all. We think about how we are the members of the head. We are one whole, complete body. This local body, the church here at Norwalk, is one whole, complete, local body with Christ being the head of the church. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, we talk about unity. We talk about the need to be working together in an orderly and workable fashion. Here's what Paul has to say, and he really nails it down for us to give us a better understanding of it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 down to verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 down to verse 31, where he says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he is pleased. And yet, or if there were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor give the head to the feet, I have no need of you. But rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Each part of the body is useful. A few weeks ago, I know someone had mentioned to me about, talking about the whole body. As Paul's pointing out, there are some parts that are greater parts, or some parts that might be lesser parts, but they're all needed. And as Paul points out here, he said, if one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. Talking about the appendix a few weeks ago. And he said, trying to figure out exactly the full understanding of what the appendix does, and still trying to, they're still trying to figure it out. I know some have said it works something with the immune system. Okay, I will not disagree with you. But still trying to find out the full function of it is still mind-boggling. But if someone has appendicitis, what happens to the body? The whole body breaks down, doesn't it? If you don't take care of it, it can kill you. Trying to figure out, my dad had his appendix removed several years ago. And he was telling me about the pain that we're trying to figure out, what does the appendix do? I don't know what it does, but whatever it does, it needs to get out right now when you have appendicitis. When the body suffers, when one member, whether great or small in the body, suffers, the whole body suffers. We are one complete body of Christ. Each of us, and we're talking about this more in just a few minutes, but each of us have unique abilities, unique capabilities. There's not just one member. We are a collected, joint together, members together. With different parts, different functions, but all serving one complete body with Christ being the head. God has made the body possible, therefore we must desire to work for God. We share in the burden, and we have joy. Not to say that when we suffer, the body suffers. But when the body is not suffering, when there's joy, we can also share in that also. Again, we're Christ. Is that our duty, our work, our focus is to serve God. It is possible, and is possible, with using His work. In 2 Timothy chapter, keep your thumb mark here, or page turn there, we'll come back there in just a moment. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Our duty, our work is to serve God and serve God with our abilities in the best way possible. But now let's just continue on and talk about this. Talk about the makeup and members of the one body. Again, as we think about this, there are many different members of the body. We're all different demographics. We all have had different upbringings. Some of us have been in the church all of our lives. Some of us have not. Some of us are brand new to the church today. Some of us have done all these different things. But again, we're talking about different members of the body. During times of the church, at its beginning point, before and after Jerusalem, there were some needs. There were different needs. And again, if we just read it a moment ago in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 down to verse 30, that there were some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some miracles, some people able to do these gifts of healing, some people able to do the interpretation of tongues, being able to help in all these different things. Apostles, prophets, miracles. There were needs for these different types of works. There were needs for some of these different types of works to be able to confirm, to be able to help the beginning of the church thrive. And so, again, we see these different titles, these different positions of people being able to perform miracles, being able to be these prophets, being able to be the apostles. But some of these works are not in effect for us today, because we're reading about how when perfect has come, some of these works will be put away. If you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just go one chapter ahead to chapter 13, and look at verse 8 down to verse 10 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 down to verse 10. It says, "Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away." You know, Paul was foretelling the future. Those things that are, when perfect has come, some of these works are not going to be needed. Some of these works are going to be put away with. How about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? How about what the work of the Holy Spirit was? The Holy Spirit continued to help, continued to have a presence there in the beginning of the church. And we see some of the works the Holy Spirit was involved with. And for the people as well, to confirm that these were people of God, that the church, that the Peter and John, the apostles, and the apostle Paul was preaching about, was indeed of God. But when perfect has come, when it has done its work, some of these things will vanish away. Something we put away with after the word is complete. But let's talk about the works that we have today. Just for a little bit of time that we have left this morning. Consider the works that for ourselves here in this local body has now and still needs. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 with me if you would. In Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and verse 12. It says, "And He Himself gave some," Christ Himself, "gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Again, we'll point out the body of Christ, Christ being the head, Christ Himself, the head, gave some in His time to fulfill these different types of, and these are works, as we look at this, for the most part, These are some works that we need here in the local body today, that we should be striving to do. For instance, let's talk about it. There Paul mentions an evangelist. Now, I'm not just saying that Daniel's the only evangelist here. We all are proclaimers of the word. Paul pointed out that we are to be preaching the word. He pointed out to Timothy, "Fulfill your work as an evangelist. Preach the word in season and out of season. Be ready at all times. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching." There in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Well, we're all proclaimers of the word. How are people going to know the word unless the word is taught, the word is preached, the gospel message the good news is brought to all. Chapter 10, verse 15 down to verse 17, about that chain reaction and everything. How are people going to know the gospel message unless they hear it? How are they going to hear it unless someone preaches it to them? How is such unless it? An evangelist is a messenger of the word. Needed in the church today. Still needed in the church today. This is a work that we all can be able to partake in some sort of way to help and reach those that are lost. But did you notice there in evangelists, we can also call them a preacher, call them different things. But if you notice there in that list there in Ephesians 4 verse 11, did you notice that he made a distinction to point out that there's pastors? Some people will say, the preacher. I've got people, I've talked with in the denomination world. Well, yeah, that I'm a pastor. While it could be true, Jesus pointed out some were going to be evangelists, some were going to be proclaimers of the word. Then there was going to be some that were going to be pastors, overseers, shepherds, presbyters, bishops. You name those types of words to be able to describe this. Overseers of the body of Christ. It does not matter. There are. I got friends of mine that preach in different congregations. Yes, they serve as elders. That's another word. Yes, some of them are elders and preachers doing the full-time work. There's nothing wrong with that. But there is a distinction between what an evangelist is and what a pastor is. A pastor, a shepherd, an elder, a presbyter, a bishop is an overseer of the body of Christ. Over in Ephesians chapter 14 and verse, Ephesians 14, you're going to be looking for that for a long time. I've had Ephesians on the mind all day. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. In Acts chapter 14, notice with me, Paul is there with working and going from place to place. And notice what he points out here. In Ephesians chapter 14, Acts chapter 14, verse 23, it says, so when they had appointed elders in every church, notice it. They appointed elders, they worked, they strive for it. They appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting. They committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Just looking at that example, we should be striving. I'm not saying to be forced into. We need to make sure as we're looking at this, we're making the right decisions. But again, striving for this. This is what the church was supposed to be made up of. Being able to have elders in it. Being able to have someone or others be able to proclaim the good work. Each individual work needs elders. And I'm not saying, some people will believe that you don't have that, you can be able to kind of do that pyramid scheme where, you got elders, that the elder, you got the elders, whatever it is, you call them however you want to call it, but you got elders, for instance, so we'll just call it Sandusky. Then, the elders of Sandusky, they oversee the work. Norwalk, they'll see the overwork in Fremont, they'll see the work in Ashland, they'll see the work in, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Paul pointed out, and Luke was right, Paul and those that were working with him, whether it was Silas or Barnabas, they worked and appointed elders in every local body. Again, pastors. Christ had overset pastors in church. And one of them we can point out is Peter. And we'll talk about Peter more in this series of lessons. But also notice with me some of the other works of the church that it has now and still needs is the work of teachers. Teachers, being able to learn more of God's Word. Being able, there's a difference between teachers and preachers. We're going to proclaim the Word. Then, Jesus pointed that there's a difference between both in Matthew 28, verse 18 down to verse 20. You're going to proclaim the good Word, and then you're going to teach it what I've commanded you. We go out and we preach the Word of God to others. And we are able to tell them the good news, and people respond to the gospel message. Now it's up to us to be able to teach them, to continue to help with that development. That's where that teachers come into play. in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. We read about the people of Berea. And here it was, they received the word. And this kind of mindset demonstrates how teachers should be. In Acts 17, verse 11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. That they received the word with all readiness. They searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. We're all students of the word. We desire to grow more. As a teacher, we are still a student in a sense. And we learn to grow and learn to desire God's word. The way we can grow more. We all learn at different capabilities. We all have different abilities and being able to learn at different capacities. And if we have the ability to teach someone, we should use those to the best of our ability. In Acts chapter 8, verse 30 and verse 31, we read about the Ethiopian eunuch. Luke records this here. In Acts chapter 8, verse 30 down to verse 31. He teaches them the word. He proclaims the word and then continues to teach them. In Acts chapter 8, verse 30, says, Philip ran to him and to the eunuch, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said to him, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. There's that proclamation. And then Philip was continuing to teach the word. You know, one of the things that's not mentioned in that list here, but again, we strive to do, kind of looking at the makeup of the Lord's church, is also deacons. Chosen to serve, a servant of God. We're going to talk about the qualification. We're going to talk about these different things as time allows us in this series of lessons. But an example of it. I'm not saying that these are indeed deacons, but an example of it, the work of deacons over in Acts chapter 6, verse 1 down to verse 7. Where there were people that were in need of the daily distribution, whether it was widows, some people were getting neglected, some people were being overlooked. And the apostles, they set over some of these individuals, Stephen being one of them. We see a list of seven individuals chosen to serve and help in that capacity in the Lord's church. To be able to make sure, a deacon, as we're going to talk about, is one that is chosen to serve. Again, one that is needed in the work of the Lord. These are some ones that are mentioned, and these are things that are still needed today for us. And all these works are important. They're needed in the Lord's church to be at the fullest and most effective form. If we have men that are capable of these positions, we and desire to seek them. That's the other thing we'll talk about as time allows us. We should be engaging ourselves in this and seeking to go in this direction of this work. We should encourage this work. If there are individuals that are qualified, we should be able to talk to them, to encourage them, to let them know. Our duty is to serve God to the fullest that we possibly can. Because we think about this morning, there is one true, whole, complete body of Christ. As Paul wrote there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4 down to verse 6, he points out that there is one body. A body where Christ is the head. And again, we are the members and working together for the head. God has designed His church on what He wants and what He expects. And so for us to be able to strive to do that. To strive and do our best to be able to fulfill those things. As we think about wanting to be part of the Lord, the Lord is willing to add those daily to the church, to His church. Those that are being saved, He is willing to add it. But how do you do it? Well, we've got to go to what the Bible says. We've got to point out what the Scriptures point out for us. Where one needs to hear the gospel message, need to believe in Jesus Christ, and need to be willing to repent of their sins, confess their belief, they can be baptized for the remission of their sins, and the Lord will add you to His church. If you're ready to do that this morning, the time is now. The invitation is open for all. If you're here this morning, maybe you have fallen away from God. You're ready to make your life right with Him once again. And you're ready to return to the fold of God. You're ready to repent of your sins because you've been out of duty and unfaithful. We'll be glad to pray for you and with you on your behalf this morning. to be able to have your soul restored, and that way the Lord can add you to His church, and we can be able to work in a way that is pleasing and acceptable to God. If you're ready to make those steps, if you're ready to make your life right with God this morning, or maybe need prayers and encouragement, we'll be glad to do that. Be glad to help you as we work together as this one whole, complete body of Christ. If you're subject to the invitation, need to make your life right with God, or need prayers or encouragement, let it be known how we can assist you, how we can help you. Have a seat on the front. You can do it now. Walk together while we stand and while we sing.